Eden, what comes to mind when you hear the name? A paradise? The birthplace of all living things? A great sin? Or do you think of a time before Eden, an ancient Mesopotamian city known as Eridu? Welcome to Botanical Echoes, a podcast exploring myth, lore, and history through the lens of plants. I'm Caleb, your host. Before we go further into this episode, I want to let you know that the stories of Eridu appear across many ancient writings, many of which I will be referencing, not only the Sumerian Eridu Genesis, but also the Babylonian Enuma Elish, the Akkadian Atrahasis, and possibly even the Hebrew Book of Genesis. Each text offers a different lens, a different echo of the city's mythic legacy. It's also worth noting, the Eridu Genesis was written centuries before the Hebrew Book of Genesis. The Sumerian version dates to around 1600 BCE, with roots even earlier, while Genesis likely emerged between 950 and 500 BCE. These Mesopotamian myths may have seeded ideas that later blossomed into the stories that many of us grew up with. To understand Eridu, I must first tell you the story of Enki. Enki, also known as Aya, is a Sumerian god of wisdom, intelligence, magic, crafts, healing, creation, art, and freshwater. He is one of the most powerful deities in Mesopotamian mythology. Born of Nammu, goddess of chaos and saltwater, and An, the supreme sky god and ancestor of all other deities. Enki is a member of the Anunnaki, a divine assembly whose name comes from An, meaning sky, and Ki, the goddess of earth. Together, they represent beings descended from heaven and earth. Enki was placed in charge of the Abzu, a subterranean ocean of fresh water. This was his domain, the source of life and knowledge. The Sumerians believed that all lakes, springs, rivers, fountains, rain, and floods originated from the Abzu. Enki was said to have emerged from it before the creation of humans. In the Babylonian creation epic, the Enuma Elish, the Abzu is personified as a primal deity, freshwater mingling with saltwater, embodied by Tiamat. Their union gives rise to the gods. The Enuma Elish begins, "When above the heavens did not yet exist, nor the earth below, Abzu, the freshwater ocean, was there. The first, the begetter, and Tiamat, the saltwater sea, she who bore them all. They were still mixing their waters, and no pasture land had yet been formed, nor even a reed marsh. From this mingling, Enki, Enlil, and Anu are born, gods destined to shape the cosmos. Eridu, now known as Tel Abu Sharayin, was said to be founded by Enki. It is considered by the Sumerians to be the first city in the world. Its patron deities were Enki and his consort Damkina. Founded around 5400 BCE during the Ubaid period, over 7,000 years ago, Eridu lies about 20 kilometers or 12.5 miles southwest of the ancient site of Ur. Archaeologists have uncovered 18 layers of settlement at Eridu, showing how people built, rebuilt, and expanded the city over centuries, creating a vertical timeline of habitation. While Enki may have founded Eridu, he did not rule it. That role belongs to the kings. According to the Sumerian king list, Eridu was the first of five cities to receive kingship before a great flood swept the land. The king's list names two rulers from Eridu's earliest period, Alulim and Alalgar. It reads, "When kingship from heaven was lowered, the kingship was in Eridu, and Eridu Alulim became king. He ruled for 28,800 years. Alalgar ruled for 36,000 years. These reigns are mythic, not literal, signs that kingship was divine, bestowed by the gods. At the center of Eridu stood the Iebzu, House of the Abyss, a temple believed to be built directly above the freshwater deep. It was symbolically the point of contact between the human and divine realms. Holy water tanks were placed in temple courtyards for ritual washing, purifying worshippers and connecting them to the sacred, life-giving water of the cosmic Abzu. The temple began as a modest structure, just 3 by 4 meters, or about 10 by 13 feet. But even then, it held a central sanctuary, an altar, and sacred niches. Over time, successive kings renovated and expanded the temple, layer by layer, until it rose into a grand ziggurat, a towering testament to Enki's enduring status. Eridu is believed to be a possible original site of the biblical Garden of Eden, or a paradise similar to it. It's considered a holy, mythical city located at the mouth of the Euphrates. It features a sacred tree and a fountain, concepts that echo through the Genesis account of Eden. To understand how Eridu's legacy might echo into the Hebrew book of Genesis, we turn to 3 distinct stories: Tagtug the Weaver, Adapa and the Food of Life, and the creation of man. Tagtug the Weaver. Tagtug, a lesser-known figure in Sumerian lore, appears in early texts as a gardener or culture hero, possibly a prototype of later flood heroes or divine craftsmen. His story survives only in fragments, but one version places him in a sacred garden, warned by Enki not to eat from a magical tree. This tree, sometimes referred to as the Kishkenu tree, is described in Mesopotamian texts as sacred, possibly linked to healing, wisdom, and divine presence. Said to grow in the Abzu, Enki's watery domain, the Kishkenu was believed to shine like lapis lazuli, a deep blue stone associated with divinity and cosmic order. Though the exact name and attributes vary across sources, its symbolism echoes the Tree of Life in later traditions. Tagtug defied Enki's command and ate the fruit. As a result, Enki cursed him, stripping away his longevity, his health, and his chance at immortality. The parallels to Eden are striking. A sacred tree, a divine warning, a transgression, and a fall. But unlike Adam, Tagtug's punishment comes not from disobedience alone, but from the loss of divine favor and the unraveling of his vitality. Adapa and the Food of Life. Adapa, known as the son of Enki and the first man, was created and endowed with great intelligence. One day, while fishing in the Persian Gulf, the south wind capsized his boat and hurled him into the sea. In anger, Adapa broke the wing of the wind, and for 7 days it could not blow. This act drew the attention of Anu, the sky god, who summoned Adapa to explain himself. Before the journey, Enki counseled Adapa carefully. He warned that Anu might offer him the food and drink of eternal life, but that Adapa must refuse, believing it to be a trap, a punishment disguised as a gift. Enki instructed Adapa to honor the gatekeepers, Tammuz and Geshida, by showing reverence and recognition. If he did, they would speak well of him to Anu. Once in Anu's presence, Adapa followed Enki's advice. He refused the food and drink offered, unaware that it was, in fact, the true gift of immortality. Puzzled by Adapa's refusal, Anu sent him back to Earth, where he would live out his life as a mortal. This story mirrors Genesis in reverse. In Genesis, Adam gains knowledge through disobedience and loses immortality. In Adapa's tale, man is given wisdom, but loses eternal life through obedience. The creation of man. Beyond individual figures, like Adapa, Sumerian texts also offer broader accounts of how humanity came to be. Within the Eridu Genesis, the text states, when An, Enlil, Enki, and Ninhursaga fashioned the dark-headed, they had made the small animals from the earth come from the earth in abundance, and have let there be, as befits, gazelles, donkeys, and four-footed beasts in the desert. Among the Sumerian people, dark-headed is a term to refer to mortals, as they are not as radiant as the gods. There are also other myths found on tablets written in Sumerian. One of these myths states that the gods once had to labor for themselves, as they have the same needs as mortals. The gods grew tired of tending to the lands, complaining about their situation. Namu, Enki's mother, informed Enki of the god's complaints and tells him to create a substitute to perform such laborious tasks. Enki goes and devises a plan to create man from the clay of Abzu and delegates these tasks to his mother, assisted by Ninma and the seven goddess helpers. But creation wasn't always a solemn act. In another myth, one part banquet, one part contest, Enki and Ninma drink deeply and begin crafting humans not for labor, but for laughter, challenge, and reflection. At a divine banquet, Enki and Ninma become intoxicated and decide to test their creative powers. Ninma begins the contest by shaping six beings, each with a physical or cognitive disability. Enki, in turn, finds a place for each one in society, assigning them roles that honor their abilities. Then Enki takes his turn. He crafts two beings, one of whom is called Umul. So malformed that Ninma cannot find a purpose for him, she declares a bad fate for the creature, and in doing so, loses the contest. Distraught, Ninma laments her own misfortune, blaming Enki for her exile after her city was attacked. Enki, moved by her sorrow, tries to comfort her by finding a place for Umu. This myth is strange, satirical, and deeply human. It suggests that even gods can fail, that creation is messy. I've covered many of the foundational myths that rise from the waters of Eridu. Enki, his reign, the city's sacred architecture, its kingship, and its echoes into Eden. We've explored how Eridu may have been the first garden, a place where humanity was shaped from clay, where wisdom flowed from the deep, and where choices like Tagtug's defiance or Adapa's obedience defined the human condition. But these are only the surface roots. There are countless other stories buried in the Sumerian tablets. Enki's infidelities, the Great Flood, the descent of Inanna, the birth of language, and the rise of law. Each one offers another echo, another thread in the tapestry of myth. Eridu may be long buried beneath the desert, but its memories still stirs in gardens, in stories, in the questions we ask about creation, wisdom, and what it means to be human. So what do you think? Is Eridu the beginning of it all? A garden from the deep where humanity first took shape? Or is it simply one myth among many, echoing through time? Until next time, this has been Botanical Echoes. I'm Caleb. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next story. If you hear any echoes of your own, questions, reflections, or stories, send them my way at botanicalechoes@gmail.com.